Good to be back. Good to be back. Know why we're here, don't we? Learn a little more about him. Everybody's out of town this week, looks like. There are a lot of people. Only takes two or three. Amen. Time got away from me. Go ahead.
God has been mighty, mighty good. You know what? I would not want to be anywhere else but right here where the word is being served. I don't take it for granted. Many people are gathering this morning, but who gets to hear from God?
Yeah.
I was thinking this morning, you know, God sent us a prophet. But why? Was it in vain? What was he going to do? And then, like you said, he's going to introduce somebody. I'm not going to preach. But... But the one he introduces somebody, the one that comes behind him, is greater than the one that introduced him.
Amen.
Look at the magnitude of the ministry that that man had. You know, whenever you think, said, you look at this crazy world and you don't know what's going on. You've got hurricanes, you got things going on, but God has let us know the heads up what's going on. You look on the surface and it looks like just life is going on, but there's something going on behind the scenes. And God has given it to us. That being said, you know, I come to have church. And amen. I'm going to throw a rock up if I got to throw it up myself. So, I believe I'll testify while I have a name.
Today, one more chance to be in the house of God is something to not snicker about. Is because he could have took you away, you know. So I thank God to give me another day of life and breath. And I'm also glad that I'm glad that God got it all in control. I mean, we see like she said, we see all this catastrophe going on in the world. But see, for the bride, it shouldn't be a surprise because it has to happen this way. And all I do is when I see it more and more, I just thank God and say, Lord, we are near home. And I'm just so thankful that I can understand this part of the revelation that God has taught us not to fear what you see, but just to have faith in him that he has it. He's got it. And you know, and it's just wonderful to know that we are a part of this grand love story.
Amen.
We are a part of it, believe it or not. But I'm just so glad that he made me a part of it. And that I mean, if I didn't have this revelation, I would have been scared to death of what's going on. All the earthquakes and all this stuff, I'd be thinking, oh my God, the apocalypse is coming in. I'm just afraid I'll be hiding like the rest of them, hiding in fear. But see, I don't have to do that.
No, sir.
I don't have fear. What I have is I know for myself that God is in control. And I just thank God for that. And I'm just giving praise for that.
Amen.
Amen.
I got a song, and just seeing the way the order service was going, I didn't want it to get in a rut. You know, I'm gonna sing a song. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna preach. I'm gonna do whatever I need to do. But I was seeing that when I got here, I was like, man, I'm nervous. And I'm like, wow, I'm getting nervous now. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, know, and I'm not saying that anybody else needs to move, but when God's dealing with you, you move. You know, I'm not talking to you to say you should move faster. I'm saying when God's dealing with you to do something, just do it. You know, it's about the story about the person that said, you know, I believe God told me to stand up and spin around. They didn't do it. Somebody else started doing it, turn place upside down. I was looking at, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, you know what, I don't want, this is not any other church. So that means this can't be any other service. That means I shouldn't be able to understand. I shouldn't even have an inkling of who's going to sing. I should be surprised with every song. I should be surprised with every testimony. I love to see Brother Ted and Brother Don up there. That should surprise me. Every time somebody gets up to lead a song, I should be surprised with what they bring, because every single person brings a different dynamic to the service. Because we're not like everybody else. There's not a program that says, you know what, this person needs to sing. There's not so many songs that you got to sing. There's not so many verses you got to give. No, I'm coming to speak with God in flesh. It should be a different experience than any other church. This shouldn't be like a Catholic church. This shouldn't be like a Baptist church. This is the church of God, and it should act like that. So when I saw God was dealing with me, I said, then you need to act different than Brother Jay. If it's dealing with you, then you start moving on it. You like Sister Clarice said, I'll throw up a rock. Well, I'm going to throw up a rock myself. You know, I was thinking about the song. It says, I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. So I need thee, Lord, I need thee, every hour I need thee, so bless me now, my I need thee, Lord, I need thee, every hour, hallelujah, every hour, I need thee, so time. Hallelujah. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. So Johanna, can you get the people from the back, the song, the Sunday school, get them out here? We're going to pray.
God, he touches me every day. He does so much stuff that I can't do myself.
Right.
I'm holding a baby right now who couldn't breathe on her own a year ago.
Sure.
And now she's here and she's healthy.
She's here right now.
We have Trevor, who they said he wasn't responding to chemo, and now he's 85% healed. And
right.
I believe God's going to take him the rest of the way in 100%. He divinely reveals the word to me every time. I understand what people who are so much smarter than me cannot understand. And
amen.
I'm so thankful because he does it all, and I have so much to be thankful for, and I never want to sit down with God.
Amen.
And like Sister Moore said, I'm going to test my why I have the chance.
Amen. Well, we're going to come up, and we're going to pray, and, you know, like Sister Johanna said, that's a baby that shouldn't be here. There's people that I shouldn't be here. I can look at that and say, I shouldn't be here. We're going to come up and pray as a body. We're going to pray and say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've already given us. We're going to scotch our tires for what he's done for Brother Trevor. We're going to keep praying for Brother Max. So there's lots of requests in the body, but we're going to pray together as a body. Because, you know, they said we could call for 100 billion tons of flies. I don't want no stinking flies. I want the healing that God has promised us. I want the service to be moved like it should be. We're going to come together as a body, and we're going to pray. That's why I want the Sunday school to be here. Their sons and daughters of God just as well. We're going to come together, and we're going to pray this morning. So let's bow our heads. Lord, Father God, thank you for giving us this wonderful opportunity, Lord. You know there's many requests among the body, Lord. Some spoken, some unspoken, Lord. Lord, we said by your stripes we're healed. Amen. We're coming as believers and we believe this word. Every service that we get, Lord, you're building our faith. You're building our understanding. You're building our confidence in this thing, Lord. And you're building our maturity so that we can just lean and depend on you. Lord, there's things that have been happening here that have just been miraculous. Lord, you've been doing healings that have been just amazing. We're coming this morning to say thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. Lord, thank you for giving us the rest that you've already given us. And Lord, we're coming as a bride that can do for her husband and say, Lord, but we want a little bit more. Lord, we're asking for one more thing. Lord, we know that our whole job here is just to get the dead up, but while you give us this word of life, it should make this side that much easier, Lord. So some of us may come here, Lord, with financial problems, may come here with relationship problems. You may come in here with trust issues, Lord. Whatever those are, Lord, let this word discern those hearts and give them what we need this morning, Lord. So the Father, we come to you. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen, Lord. You bind it. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. It is good to be here this morning. Amen. I want to sing Nothing But the Blood. Because it was nothing I had to do. Nothing But the Blood. Let me find that song number. You know, because I look at this and in one sense I'm like, you know, I appreciate the help for every service we get. But I've been trained good. I know how to sing. I know how to testify. And I'm learning how to preach. So I can put them all together and we can have ourselves a wonderful time. I'm going to be the bartender this morning and I'm going to give you 100 proof on everything I serve. Nothing but the blood. Amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood.
It's good to be here. It is good to be here. You know, I love that. I'm testifying now, and then I'm going to preach. I'm happy to be here. Like, I was sitting there thinking, like, what I just think. Like, I love how Sister Spears says it. She says, when I just think, when I just, I don't have to even go nowhere. I don't have to even be nowhere. When I just sit and think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul can cry out, hallelujah, thank you, God, for blessing me. I don't have to look at Lily's life and think, my goodness, he's been really good to the Kirkman family. I don't have to look at Brother Don Deskin and say, my goodness, he's been good to the Deskin family. I can say, my goodness, he's been good to me. Oh, why wouldn't I want to praise him? Why wouldn't I want to shout? Why wouldn't I want to sing? Why wouldn't I say, thank you, Lord? Listen, guess what? Guess what? We're in a group of believers. So I can be as free as I want to be. I can get as loud as I want to be. I'm surrounded by people that just love me, that love the Word of God. I'll worry about Monday when I get there. Tuesday will handle itself. But I'm here right now. You should have a song. I'm grateful. I'm just grateful for one more opportunity to praise God. That's it. That's it. Sister Joy, going to be our last song. You sing, and then I'll be ready. Give me a chance to get some water. Serving more drinks.
Oh, my Lord, you've surely been good to me.
Come on. I've got a testimony.
We'll do it.
You don't set a man on fire.
There it is.
Tell him to sit down and be quiet.
It's profiling purposes.
You should know better.
Profiling purposes.
I just feel like testifying now.
Do what you got to do.
You know, I said their thing by getting yourself out of the way.
Amen.
There's a trick to that.
Amen.
It's not about you. It's not
no.
what you look like. It's
no.
not what you sound like. It's
no.
not what you've done. Good or bad. It's
none
not what you're going to do. Good or bad.
Right.
It's what he has already done.
Amen.
Before I ever
got here. Amen.
My Lord.
Amen.
I praise for him for that.
Amen.
Oh, I got a praise for him.
Amen.
Never end for that.
Amen.
Come on. I've been set up.
Amen. I love it.
And the cards have definitely been stacked.
Yeah.
I love this thing. I
Amen.
Love this understanding.
Amen.
I love getting my old silly self out of the way.
Out of the way. Right.
It might look silly to some, but
oh.
you get yourself out of the way.
Come on now.
This won't look so bad.
No.
This will look pretty
good. It feels good right
but
now.
But I'm
yeah.
thinking of what he has done.
Amen.
Not me.
Right.
I know how many times I come out center. Oh, you didn't get ready for service.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't have a song ready.
Oh, here you
knew James was going to preach today.
Yeah, you got to do something. Work, work, work.
The Lord just turned me on.
Yeah.
Just remind me one time who
right.
I am.
Stir up that fear, remember.
What you've done for me.
Amen. That's it.
That's all I need.
Amen.
Just let me know.
Sure.
One more time. Remind me one more time.
Right.
All that you've done for me.
Amen.
All this revelation. I'm nothing like
it. Amen.
Nothing that. Oh, you
Amen.
Talk, you talk about a noisy people.
Right.
And that's just down here. That's just in these little
That's just in these bodies. Right.
Lord, on the other side.
Amen.
You know, I can't wait for the other side.
Amen.
All my loved ones will be there.
Amen.
I've got no reason to fear.
No.
I've got no reason to fear this life.
Right.
All things work for my good.
Amen.
You know, there's only a couple of scriptures you need, and you're good. You're pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
You're pretty It'll good.
Say, yeah, you're pretty good.
You should be able to praise him. You should be able to hold your chest down.
Amen.
You should be able to say, Lord, that's all I need.
Right.
Knowing he's got it.
Right.
Knowing everything I love will be there.
Amen.
I can plant potatoes here and have full confidence.
Right.
Amen. Praise God.
Right.
I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there.
Right.
Planning for tomorrow.
Right.
Doing my best.
Amen.
Enjoying every minute of it.
Amen, Lord.
Fear.
No. No.
Oh, no fear in this.
Perfect love.
Perfect
cast it out.
Love.
Cast it all out.
Fear.
Amen.
I rest in this.
Amen.
I rest.
Amen.
Every step I rest.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen. Amen, Brother Don. I'm glad you're burning like that. I love to see it like... Sister, what's your name? What's your name? Ashley, you ain't never been to a church like this. You probably don't know who the pastor is. He ain't even here. Pastor's not even here. This is a church of people, of believers. They come stirred up. They come energized. They're looking at the tape saying, my goodness, you should miss this place. You should miss this place. You really should. You really should just miss this place. I'm grateful to be here. Now, I do have to preach. I do have to preach. I can't just sing the whole time. I've got words that I want to say. I've got things that I want to bring. So have a seat. Have a seat. Settle down for like 5 seconds. Let me get my announcements out of the way because I cut them off. I didn't let them get to do the announcements. I messed that part up, but I'm having a good time, as you can see. You know, you know what I love about Brother Don grabbing the mic and the sisters grabbing the mic? Guess what? You know, if somebody was an alcoholic and you set a drink down beside them and you just walked to the bathroom, you walked away, or you was taking too long, guess what? Their fingers start walking over there. They start sliding it towards them a little bit because they'd be enthused about what they're about to get. And that's just a drink. I'm enthused about what I got to say. I'm enthused about what God's been doing. So if you leave the mic alone just too long, I'll start inching it closer to me. If you start singing just a little slower, I'll start speeding up the tempo. If you don't have nothing to say, I'll start speaking a little bit louder. I'm thankful for what God has done. Oh, my. We're a blessed group of people. That's why I can look at the sister and say, you've never seen a church like this. Never seen a place like this. So turned on. And guess what? This ain't superficial. I can go layers deep with this. I can go back to before there was a God. I can go to after we don't need God like that. I can tell you all things. I can go through the book of Revelations. I can go through the book of Genesis. I don't got to just praise him for healing. I can praise him for understanding. I can praise him for revelation. I can tell you who revealed it to me. I can get deep in this thing. But for this morning, I'm going to let you know, you ain't never seen nothing like this. Never seen nothing like this. Go ahead, Brother Ted, while I'm turning to my scripture.
Oh, my. I just can't sub myself. I just, I wanted to say something there, and I've been too polite.
Yeah, jump in there. Jump in there. Let me cut you off.
No,
do what you got to do. Right.
You just get in.
Right.
You push your way in.
Amen.
That's how you get in.
Amen.
That's just the way it is.
Amen.
And if you don't get in, it's your own fault.
Right.
Here, you got full freedom. You do what you need to do. You do what God wants
Amen.
You to do. Just let your... I love it here.
Amen, brother.
There ain't no other place in the world that's like this place to me.
Amen.
I don't care. We went to Ohio State Buckeyes yesterday, and it was fine. But it ain't nothing like this place
No,
here.
It ain't this place. It ain't this place. You're right, Lord.
This place keeps me enthused all
Amen.
The time. It keeps going and going and going.
Amen.
I look at all these things going on in this world. All these
World's crazy.
Earthquakes, all these hurricanes. All it does to me is excites me because I know
You're
I'm getting out of here.
Right. Amen.
It's just a sign of the time, and I know this one person's ready to shoot a missile. I don't care.
Right.
I'll be out of here. It just excites me because I know this place has got it. We've
Amen.
Got the dream.
We got
we know.
It. Amen.
It's not we're just probing. We
no.
know.
We know.
We
know.
We know. There is no probing in it at all. I mean, when you look back, you can't deny it. That's a hand. I look and say, that's my hand.
Right.
My hand. Not someone else's. It's my hand. When we look over there, that's my body.
Right. Amen.
Not just part. It's my body.
Right.
I'm part of that body. They're just as much a part of us as we are part of them.
Amen.
We're all connected.
Right.
It's that real.
Right.
Push yourself into this. I was going to say something. We're going to say something. I said, no, just be polite. Be polite. Don't say nothing. I said, fully on politeness.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into this thing.
You better. Get into it. You only got the chance.
If you're in there eating and you want something to eat, you go mount a church if you don't get in there and get in there.
Right.
You got to eat.
Right.
I'm looking and going, Jay, you're not going to do this to me. I said, no way.
You let me.
I'm not letting you steal the show, all of it.
Right.
This is our service.
Yeah, it is.
Not Jay's service.
Right.
It's our service.
Amen. Yeah.
It's what you get into it.
Right.
It's what you're going to get out of it.
Amen.
Get nothing in. Put nothing in.
Get
nothing
out. Right.
It's more exciting when you get involved.
Sure.
Oh, you go to the game and you go and they come around with the wave. It's not fun when they go around and you don't get participate.
Right.
It's more fun when you do the wave.
Right.
Then you're saying, I'm getting involved. Same here.
Right.
You actually release the pressure that's inside you by getting out of your way.
Amen.
That's the pressure.
Amen.
Don't talk to yourself. Just push it.
Right.
I love this message.
Amen.
I love this truth.
Amen.
There's no other place in the world that has this. And I love every minute of it.
Amen. Okay, now I got to get started. I know you guys are going to testify. I get it. We can testify after I preach. We can do whatever we want. You said it's your service. Let me do my time, and then I'll give y'all some. We'll sing. We'll testify. We ain't got nothing to do today. We came here to have a good time. That's how it is. That's how it should be. So I'm going to get started. I'm going to get started now. And then when I finish, testify, sing, whatever. Y'all should have a key to the church. You stay here as long as you want to. You sing if you want to. You act like you got to leave when somebody stops playing an organ. If you got a song, you still want to sing it? I don't care who's here when I'm singing a song. I'm singing a song to the Lord. I'm testifying to the Lord. That tradition makes you think somebody's got to, so many people got to be standing around. So many people got to hear. So many people. No, enjoy yourself today. We're having a good time. So, amen. So, one quick announcement. Yeah, so I got to do that. October the 27th at 7 o'clock, Brother Jeremiah's house, we're having a fall party. Now my work is done on that part. Now I can get into this thing. So what I want to talk about is the doctrine of law and grace. So Wednesday night, we was talking about different things, and I was talking about how law, how you can apply that to, you have to apply that to the right spirit realms. I mean, to the right realms. You got to apply that to the flesh
or the spirit realm, you got to apply law on those things. So we were getting a balance on law. And Pastor Moore said something at the end of the service. He said, that's breaking us into the doctrine of law and grace. So I'm going to continue in that same path, talk about that a little bit, and that's what I'll share with you, and we'll turn it back over to you guys and have a good time this morning. It's good to be here. It is really good to be here. He said people were out traveling. They're going to be looking at this tape saying they wish they could have been here, could have been a part of it. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. You know how silly we would look as a group of believers with this level of understanding, and we look like mule-faced Christians? We just had a service where we was talking about somebody's tumor went down to 85% because of what you prayed for. We looked at a baby that we looked at. I said, this person was barren, couldn't have kids, and we see babies there. I'm talking about you see somebody that couldn't preach the word of God is up here preaching the word of God. We've seen too many miracles. Miracles. Now, I'm not talking just general healing. I'm not talking headaches. I'm not talking colds. I'm talking we've seen people brought from death to life. What? This group. This group. This group. So when I say he's real, he is real. So many other people doubt him, but trust, I know too much about him. Oh, my. So anyway, I'm going to talk about law and grace. Now, in my mind, here's how I used to think law and grace were wars against each other. I thought they were against each other. And I as I got further understanding, I learned that there was just levels to this. And I'm going to end it, but when I finish, I'm going to say Brother Branham said that grace is so much higher than the law that law's not even in the picture. Not in the picture. But that means there was a purpose for law. There was a use for law. And as you further understand, you get so much higher levels, so much higher in your understanding that law is not even in the picture. Yeah, that sounds really good. I love that. So I'm going to just say the scriptures because we got a couple of people here. Might not have heard this before. We'll read that. We'll do that stuff. But I'm just excited about it. So I'll read over in Galatians 3, chapter 24, because we needed the law. It said, law, I'll read over here, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, basically our guardian, to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. So there was a purpose for the law. When you had the law on the scene, the law showed you how much you needed God. It started to show you, the more you understand why law was in place, it should show you that you need God, not that you don't need God. So guess what happened when they brought laws around? People started doing those laws as if they were paying a debt to God. So that way God owed them salvation to appease him. That's not how law works. It should show you that you need him that much more. There's so many laws that you can't even keep them all. Guess what? You can't keep the law. No, even Brother Branham said it over in God Who Is Rich in Mercy. He said Moses' law never saved anybody. The law can't save it. That's, oh my. I'm talking to some people that know the scripture then. I'm talking to some people that are believers. So it's going to be easy. We're going to keep pushing right. Like Pastor Moore says, buckle up. We'll just read right through these quick. Because I looked at that and I said, oh my goodness. That's because, you know, and I'm going to turn over to Matthew 5. It says, think not that I am come to destroy the law. I'm not here to abolish it. I'm not here to destroy it. I'm just here to get a further understanding to know where law and grace applies. I should further understand, the more I get the word of God, I should understand where to place these things. And I'm going to read the scripture. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. You know, they always accuse us that we're getting rid of all the laws and we can just live any old kind of way. Fooey to you. You don't know what you're talking about. You think you because guess what they're saying? Let me tell you what they're saying. They're saying you ain't never sacrificed. Talk about it. You ain't never had to die to yourself. You get to do whatever you want. You're out of your cotton picking mind. I don't get to do whatever I want. I got to do whatever God calls for me to do. I don't get to just say what I want. I don't get to walk where I want. I am no longer alive. It is Christ that liveth in me. When you talk about a sacrifice, I die daily. This ain't a one-time thing. I can't go back to February and say, that's when I got saved. That's when I gave my heart to Christ. That's when all those things went away. No, I die daily to my flesh. Every day. Every day I have to submit. Guess what this says? Be still and know that I'm God. That I'm not working this up.
That's God doing this. You know, but when they try to do that, they try to say that we don't sacrifice. We don't give. Everybody that's here, nobody wants to live in Fairborn. Nobody wants to live in Fairborn. I see houses all the time. Fairborn ain't on top of my list. Ever. Minus the hurricanes, Florida used to be on the list. Now, but I'm just telling you, this place was never on anybody's list. And this place, they look at, can any good come out of Nazareth or Fairborn? That's how they look at us. But I'm looking at this and saying, but God's here. I got to be where God is at. I got to be. That's the difference maker. It says when you see that day approaching, and we do, you should forsake not to gather yourselves that much more. So whether this church was in Fairborn or Detroit, guess where I'd be? Right there. I'm obligated to get fed. You said I'd go malnutritious if I didn't eat. I got to get to where the word is at. But guess what? You can't even recognize that this is the word of God unless God reveals it to you. That's why I'm looking at the sister. I'm saying you just got a special entrance into a VIP group. This is a select group of people. This is one in a million. This is one in a million. You talk about the promised land. You stepped on it today. Talk about a place where God is at. This is where. Guess what? Let me tell you something. If I wanted to call God and I'm going through a problem, watch what I could do. I go to my cell phone, scroll through. I could text him. I can call him. I know exactly where he is. I know where he is. And guess that's it don't even stop there, though. Because that's one stage of the revelation. When you got to recognize God and man first. But it can't stop there. You got to recognize that if I'm in a situation and I can't get a hold of somebody else that I've seen God in, guess what else I can do? I can call him on the scene myself. Oh, that's a revelation. I know that God resides in me. So even the way that the leadership works, I know that the God that's calling to me is going to be the same God that's calling to you. We're not going to be going contrary to the word. It's one God. That's why he can say, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why, oh my. So all these things, they just run concurrently. They just run. But I was looking at this and said, there's levels to this, because they used to always think we're trying to get rid of law, trying to get rid of prophet. We're constantly changing. No, we want the full word of God. When the full word of God is on the scene, that's when you can have full truth. That's when you can have full grace. You can't have full... Pastor Moore said in one of his sermons, he said, you can't even judge properly if you don't have grace and truth. Yes, that means you're judging with half the book. So if somebody has a speeding ticket, you know what to do there, but if they commit murder, you don't know what to do. You ran out of options. Guess that's what happens in the church world. That is exact. They're trying to judge with half the book. They're trying to look at things with half the book. They can look at it and go, I can understand your past indiscretions, but if you do it tomorrow, I don't know what to do. That's how they look at it. I can understand that before you got saved, you did all these things, but now that you're saved and you mess up, I don't know how you can go to heaven. There's got to be a law there. They don't know how to two-step it. They don't know how to carry it. They don't know. They don't have predestination. They don't have eternal security. They don't know that God's foreknowledge saw these things. They have no clue of that. But guess what? We do. We know that. We see that. We see the whole story. So that's how we can have a righteous judgment. We got the whole book. Oh, my. We're a blessed group. I'm just giving you guys tidbits. You said you knew it. I'm going to just keep going through what I have. I'm happy to be here, as you can tell. Because when you realize, that's why, that's even how the scripture can say the law is not even for righteous. But who, can you make yourself holy, or does God have to do it? So there's none righteous among you but God. Hold on now. Let me make sure this makes sense. The law isn't for righteous. But you can't be righteous unless you're God. Because there's none righteous among you. He's the only one that can make me righteous. He's the only one that can make me holy. So when I tell you that the law doesn't apply to me, guess what I'm telling you as well? God's here. God did this. It was no working. God did it all. Oh, my. He's the righteous one. He's the one that annihilated that old soul and put the new soul in there. So I have eternal security because I'm part of the eternal call to God. That means I've come from God. That means I have to go back to God. Regardless of what you see in the middle, I know where I'm going. So whether I'm like Job picking boils, it doesn't even matter. That's how you should have a rest. That's why he said you get a scripture in your mind, it should be able to just stir you up that quick. You might be going through something in this world, craziness. You come in here amongst believers in this special select group, and we look at you and say, you know what? Satan is the author of confusion. All he's trying to do is divide you from the body. He's trying to distract you from your main job. He said, I will never put more on you than you can bear. He said, oh, but wait, he didn't just stop there. He didn't say, I'll make you an almost conqueror. He said, I'll make you more than a conqueror. So when you get all these quotes, you get these scriptures in there, I'm not even worried about what your flesh does when I say it. You don't have to throw a rock up then. I don't even care what your emotions do. But guess what your soul is doing? That's right. That is right. Give me some more of that. So then your soul pushes your spirit. Your soul will push that spirit and say, move a little closer to the front. I can't hear him so good. Somebody's interrupting me. And then your flesh will say, but I'm tired. I've been working all night. I don't want to sit there. That seat's hard. But guess what? Your spirit say, but it'll feel better. Then your flesh gets closer. It gets closer to the word. It starts wanting more. That's why the brother can say, if you set a man on fire, how can you say, expect him to sit down? I didn't set your flesh on fire. I didn't set your spirit on fire. I set that soul on fire with the word of God. This is a group of people that believe the word of God. Oh, my. So as you get more and more and more, you start seeing that it's not by any works that anybody was saved. All grace. That's what I love about this because, you know, even Brother Branham said, he said, when I get over there, I'll just be singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I mean, that's what's just been running through my mind. I'm thinking, I had half the book and I thought I could judge. You can't do it that way. Because what did he say would happen when he got here? He said, I will lead and guide you into all. Oh, so that means I didn't have it until he got here then. Because until God himself stepped on the scene, that the Holy Spirit wasn't here leading and guiding in all truth. He could only quicken the word for the day. Now, when we're looking at this, and Brother Ted referenced this, these are messengers to each age. They had a partial bit of word, and I say partial because it's compared to what I have. That's how I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it from my view there. I have the full word, and they had the build to this. I'm only where I'm at because of where they built to. Does that make sense? I'm not saying I'm better. I'm saying I needed Paul. I needed Irenaeus. I needed that. Without justification, without sanctification, I don't have full word. I need all that. But because I have it all, I can see when the cup wasn't all the way full. That just makes sense. Common sense. But God always quickened the word for each age. That word in that particular age was the amounted word for that age, and that's what it was. At that time, that was perceived as full word. Just like if you never know that the cup can go all the way up, it will be perceived that this is full. Until I set this one beside it. Now you go, huh. Well, now that's full. That's how it is when you look at me. You thought Paul had it all. You thought Irenaeus was it all. But you look at Brother Jay and go, now that's full. That's full. That's a full cup. That's full grace. Full truth. Full understanding, a full book, perfect judgment, perfect understanding, perfect revelation. That's full. So you're talking to somebody that's loaded this morning. You're talking to somebody that's excited about what God is doing. So I'm going to read another scripture. I'm going to read one more scripture. Because they look at this thing and they say, but what if I do this? What if I do that? What if I do this? The law should judge this. The law should judge that. But what do they say in the Bible? 2 Corinthians. I'm trying to use two devices up here because I got up here a bit prematurely in my own mind. Was not prepared. But I feel like we're having a good time still. I feel like God's doing what he needs to do. So I'll just take a second here and turn over to this. I'm trying to get more like a Jeremiah and Pastor Moore. They got those. They can do it. Normally I'm pretty good on electronics, but I get nervous up here and then you guys staring at me. Yeah. Well, I ain't had enough practice. You know, I was thinking about that this morning. I found it. It's 2 Corinthians 12 and 19. But I was thinking that this morning. You know what? We don't have no formal training in here. No. We got the best teachers.
It's called examples. And you get to watch somebody that's done it and done it and done it and done it. And that's where you learn from. That's a beautiful teacher. You know, that's you know, when you graduate college or school or whatever it is, they go, well, how many years experience you got, though? I know you read about it. I know you have some theories about what it should be. But what you might have a good idea of what might work. But how many years experience? Like, have you ever done this before? Have you ever even seen somebody that's done it before? You've been around a bunch of people in class that have never done it. Have you ever done this before? And I'm saying, thank God, I've been around people that's done this before. So even though I didn't get the formal teaching on the apologetics and the harmonics of the speech and all those things, I've been around some people that's handled the Word of God. And I've seen what they do. And guess what they said? The gift is just to get out the way. And that's all we come here for. When you sing, when you testify, all this group of believers wants you to do, just get out of the way. Get out of the way. If we wanted a choir, we'd hire one. If we wanted another person, we'd bring one in. We got the funds to do it. We just want believers to praise God. So this morning, that's what I'm doing. So 2 Corinthians 12 and 19. When you start thinking that you don't have enough. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things dearly we love before you edify. I'm going to scroll down here because I'm trying to get to my grace is sufficient. And I'm turning through it, but I'll just paraphrase. It's basically a situation where they're saying, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do that. God said, my grace is sufficient. Because in yourself, we understand the three realms, people, flesh, spirit, and soul. We understand those rims. But guess what your flesh can do? It can remember. That flesh ain't throwing nothing in the sea of forgetfulness. That spirit realm ain't not. If you owe me some money, my spirit realm, every time a bill comes through, I'm going to think, you know, Brother Don does owe me $100. If I had that $100, I'd be able to pay that bill. That flesh and spirit realm ain't trying to pass off on that stuff. But guess what God's grace can do? He says, my grace is sufficient. I can handle any of the burdens that you bear. Because guess what? He knows your thoughts afar off. I'm not serving a God that's just a today God. I'm not serving a God of tomorrow. I'm serving an all-in-all God. I'm serving a God that is foreknowing, has foreknowledge, and seen it all. He knew me when I was formed. He saw my members before when they were comely made. He knows all my thoughts afar off. Not just when I get to it. Before I even think of. So that means when he said I'm putting grace on it, he knew what I'd do. He knew what I'd say. He knew all those things. Had it all covered. That's why I should give us a rest. So as we understand these things, people, we see how law was applied to one area. We see how grace is entered into this thing. That's how we can look at this thing, even if we're going to look at it in levels and go, that's why grace is so much higher than the law. That the law's not even in the picture. Because as you go through this life and you get understanding in this revelation, now God's the only revealer of it. There's no, I don't have any magic words. I don't got a magic wand. I don't got anything that I can tell you that'll reveal these words to you, that'll make them real to you. I don't. I don't even pretend to. I don't even try. That's never happened in this church. I don't have a chair that I'm going to bring out. I don't have anything that you can join. All you have to do is pick up the Word of God and apply it. But as we see these things happen, we're going, God is just showing us who we are. The revelation of who we are has removed the law of sin and death, has removed those things. That's how even marriage and divorce, the preaching that tied into this. Unless you know that old soul dies, you're committing adultery in that sense. And I'm looking at these things and I'm going, thank you, Lord, for just one more opportunity to come in here and praise him, to magnify his name, to get further understanding on this thing. Like I said, I'm just breaking into it a little bit. Law, the doctrine of law and grace. I know my brothers are going to come hit this thing. I know tonight we'll hit this thing. Wednesday we'll hit this thing. We'll keep battling this thing. Because even like when we were praying, we were saying, you know, I'm not worried about heaven. I'm taken care of. I'm going to heaven. Already, I'm part of God. That means I got to go back. That's my house. I'm just walking through this thing. I'm smelling the roses, planting the potatoes as I pass through. But I'm going to heaven. So that's not in one of my struggles. So I have a rest in that. But while I'm here on this side, while I have to deal with Satan and his minions, I want to have a rest in my mind.
I want to have a peace in my mind. I want to have a song in my heart to be able to rejoice and praise God every day.
Amen.
You know what? They said one time here, or a couple times here, we shouldn't even have a whole bad day. Whole day? Not a whole day. I can get when the mailman delivers it, I can get you maybe some bad news, but it shouldn't ruin the whole day. Now when you got all these scriptures, all these believers, all these resources, you know, that's, I was looking at that, and I started thinking about the resources. And I thought about, you know, people that, you know, have a lot of money or don't have a lot of money, they're just measured by the resources. You go, man, if I had X number of dollars, I'd be able to do, and I'd be able to, you say, if I had more resources, because cash is just a resource. If I had more resources, I would be better off. If you thought, if I had unlimited resources, I'd be better off. That same applies here. You have unlimited resources. You should be better off. You should be better off. You've got access. I told you, you can call God, text God, come here. Guess what? This is another thing they said, and I'm going to get you guys to testify, sing, whatever you want to do. There's nothing they said. If you come here and get the word of God and come expecting to hear what God's going to do for you, you probably wouldn't need to call him all the time. You probably wouldn't need to text him all the time. Because he's going to tell, guess what he's going to tell you when you call him? Everything he just said on Sunday. Everything he said on Wednesday. He'll say, yeah, you're telling me you need a tool, but I already told you it's in your bag. You got your bag right there in front of you? Yeah, open it up. I told you it's in there. Pull that out of there. I'm going to give you a reminder. I said there shouldn't be no arguing in the home. So what's the debate about? Let's start there. Are you calling her brother and sister? Let's start there. Where were you at Wednesday night? Let's start there. What have you been doing with your priority? Are you the man of the house? Let's start there. Are you standing in your covenant as a wife? Let's start there. I'm just telling you, when you call God on the scene, he only has his word. And guess what? We come here every service expecting to hear the word of God. So if you call him on a phone, you email him, you text him, guess what you're going to get? The word of God. So when you come here to these services, they should fix the house. They should fix the job. They should fix your life. And they should fix your mind. Because that's what we have services for. For the perfecting and edifying of the saints. I'm working to get out of here in that sense. I'm working to get out of here. I'm just here for one job. That's to get the dead up. That's my job, is rapture. Because I'm building rapture in faith. It's what I'm building right now. But through it all, I'm seeing God moving my life on this issue, on this issue, on that issue, on this. And you know, I would challenge you. If you don't see God moving as fast as you think he needs to move, start expecting more. Start expecting more. Start expecting more. Come into service expecting, saying, you know what, Lord? I'm empty. I need an answer. I'm not putting my mind on it. I'm not putting my ID on it. When whatever you tell me to do this morning, that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to do. And I'm going to stand right there until you tell me something else. And then I'm going to stand on that. And guess what? You'll be like I am right now this morning. I'm looking way back down the road saying, oh, my goodness, that's where I was. That's where I was in my understanding. That's where I was in my faith. That's where I was in what I wanted to do. And I still got a ways to go. I'm not out of here yet. I still need showers every day. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying it by that means. I'm not even, guess what? I'm not even judging my life against yours. I could care less what you do. I care less how you live. I don't care. You eat steak. I eat chicken. I don't care. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here as for me and my house. Me and my house. I got blinders on. I'll help. I'll do whatever I need to do. But when, because guess what? You might just be faking. You might be just putting on airs. You might just like me a little bit so you're polite when I'm around. You might be hiding something. But that can't affect me. A church split can't affect the believer. It doesn't affect the believer. That's why we look at this thing and when a church split happens, we look up and go, huh, wow, they were just lying that whole time. Next step. The next service, God tells us something to do, next step. If you don't keep walking, that's okay. I can't swim backwards. I got too many people depending on me. I got to go forward. I got kids. I got a wife. I got loved ones. Guess what it says? Unless you take the full word, full obedience to the word. Entitles you to the token. And we know what that token does. That's a prophet's reward. I got a lot of people depending on me. And it's not even, and that's what I'm looking at this, law and grace. I'm not working this up, people. Like, I'm not, because it used to be a time you would think that, you know, busyness means holiness. So people would join the usher board, cut the grass, clean the church, and they would think that's work. Guess what? The grass can get as high as it needs to get. That ain't gonna stop, hinder, hurt, whatever. God will make it die. He'll make the grass die. It'd be weeds out there that just die out, kill it all off. We'll put gravel out there if ain't no brother here to cut the grass. That doesn't matter. What I'm getting at is that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all. What God wants you to do is what he asks you to do. And that's what matters. And that's why I love it, because he doesn't sugarcoat this thing. I'm wrapping up. He doesn't sugarcoat this thing in the sense that, you know, our God is so real that he can call you by name. By name. By name. Won't leave no secret to it at all. He can literally say, Brother Jay, come on now. Get your house together. I'll say, you're right, Lord. Thank you for talking to me. I appreciate the fact that you are talking to me. He can say, you know what? You've been lazy. You need to jump a little bit quicker. You know what, right, Lord? Thank you. For first to get my flesh out of the way, I say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for even still talking to me. That's the first step. Let me make sure my spirit gets right. Because guess what? Rebuke hurts. I'm not dumb. I had whoopings before. I guess my mom is black. She's whooped me before. It ain't always felt great. It ain't always been a good time. I wasn't smiling in there like, oh, I'm going to steal another cookie. Oh, that was so worth it. But it gets you where you need to be. So when you come into the house of correction, I get that sometimes you're going to need to get your spirit right. Start off by saying thank you. Thank you, Lord, for still talking to me. Thank you, Lord, for still blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for still edifying me. Thank you, Lord, for pulling me out of the street. And I'm not saying the hood. I'm not saying I was gang banging. I'm saying thank you. When a child is running in the street, if you don't have kids, listen to this analogy. If my son or daughter was running in the street and I had to grab any part of them, I don't care if I grab Jada's ear. I don't care if I grab Jonathan's neck. Whatever I could hold on to and yank them out of the road, I would do it, and it would be worth it. Amen. So whatever God has to pull from me, whatever God has to grab a hold of, it is worth it to get me out of the street. So when he says my name, Brother Jay, you're running in the street, get out of there. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And this thing ain't worked up. This ain't a bunch of holy rollers here. This is a real church with real problems. We live in, this is Satan's Eden. This is Satan's Eden. This ain't my Eden. I didn't create this world. This is Satan's Eden. So he has control and all this kind of stuff out here. But that doesn't make me less. Because whenever Satan raises up a standard, guess what God does? He raises up a standard. He's already made a way. When you see a wall, I see a door. When you don't think I can do it, he makes me taller. I love what God is doing here. I love how he's blessing us here. I love what we get here. I love the doctrines that's been brought out because it's making things clear. I mean, I'm understanding how law and grace applies to marriage and divorce, that applies to the change that happened in 63, that applies to serpency. All these things line up for us. And I'm grateful for it. All those resources. Come on up, musicians, and whoever wants to testify, grab a mic. Amen. Nobody? Oh, go ahead.
I wanted to say that, you know, through the different things that we've talked about, it was, you don't have to be here to go to heaven. You don't have to get here to get your eternal life. But there are some of us that are called to be here.
Yeah.
There are some of us that are called to do things from here, to branch out and meet people, and to branch out and do things. And yeah, the other people that are doing other stuff are still going to be there. You know, some of them are people that we love and care about, and they're still going to be there at the end. But, you know, we have the chance of choosing obedience over our hard heads. And when we take the word and we start applying it and we start dying to ourselves and remembering, oh, you know, just because I died yesterday, I might need to die twice tomorrow because I let my hard head get in the way. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I sit there and I'm like, well, how do I go back? How do I stop. Well, I apply the word. You know, and it's like, as I'm doing this and as it's changing my life and my home, it is extremely weird to me because it's not something I can explain. I can't explain to you how, step by step, the process happens inside of me. All I can tell you is I turn to the word, I play the word in my head, and it changes my actions. It's not even something that I do. It's not me. But it is me. Because when people look, they're like, oh, well, it's her doing it. Well, it's not me, but it is me. It's the word. And it's, you know, it's something that it's amazing because as it keeps going, you know, the hope and the grace and everything that comes from that process of just dying and letting it happen, it's a miracle. It's a blessing.
Learn obedience by the things we suffer, as Brother Ted just said. We truly understand the levels of this thing. We can see how grace, by having grace, law is not even in the picture. Because grace is so much higher. We see these things. We're a blessed group of people. God has smiled on me. Amen. Come back tonight expecting. Remember those as they travel.
Yes, God has. He smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
A light unto, hallelujah.
A light unto my path is He. Without Him I would fall.
I love it.
I don't know what He is to you, but to me He's my all in all. Yeah, God has. Oh, He smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, my God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
He is the source. Hallelujah.
He is the source of all my joy. He fills me with His love. Everything that I should need, He sends it down from above.